Today we're announcing that the government will extend the retail deposit guarantee scheme with some changes in its terms and conditions. The current scheme finishes on October the 12th, 2010. The new scheme will start up on October the 13th and run until December the 31st, 2011. The deposit guarantee scheme was introduced at a time when there was considerable considerable turbulence in international financial markets and real concern about the stability of the financial system in New Zealand. I think it's important to keep in mind here that the scheme is not ultimately about the institutions that are in it, it's about the government's objective of achieving financial stability. The retail guarantee was successful in doing that. However, it's become clear since the guarantee's been in operation that it can impose costs on people who are in the financial markets and investing, and it can end up distorting decisions. So the planned extension strikes a balance between maintaining New Zealanders' confidence in the financial system but signalling an orderly exit from the scheme. So it does give time for both investors and institutions to adjust back to a more normal business environment. And we believe that the fact that international financial markets have settled a good deal in the last 6 months gives us the opportunity for a measured transition out of this scheme over the next 2.5 years. There will be a number of changes to the scheme after October the 12th, all heading in the direction of a transition back to more normal financial market conditions. And today in particular we're publishing pricing for the guarantee. That means that both the institutions and the depositors know now in August of 2009 what the pricing is going to be in 15 months' time for a scheme that runs for a further 14 months beyond that. So the announcement, it strikes the right balance between the need for stability in the financial markets, certainty for investors and institutions about where the government's heading with the guarantee, and also the risks to the taxpayer. The taxpayer has already paid out around $68 million under this guarantee, and this is a measured approach designed to protect the interests of the taxpayer, to transit out of the guarantee and to get back to financial normality. Any questions?
Yes, a move that Australia recently made as well. Is this your trip in the weekend a catalyst for this change, or was this always happening?
Well, we've discussed with the Australians the need for coordinated action on guarantees, both internationally and between Australia and New Zealand. So the timing of this guarantee, the timing of the end of it, is designed to roughly coincide with the end of the Australian guarantee.
How many of the ones currently in the scheme are likely to be excluded by the change in the credit rating?
It's important to keep in mind what's going to happen over the next 14 months for these institutions. As a result of the finance company collapses two or three years ago, the previous government introduced a new regulatory framework for non-bank deposit takers, which includes most of these organisations. Now, as a result of that legislation, all non-bank deposit takers over $20 million will need to get a credit rating pretty much in the next 12 to 15 months. So that's a hurdle these organisations have to jump anyway. The extended scheme is designed to be to complement the new regulatory regime. So they will have to have a credit rating if they're over $20 million in assets, and the new scheme will be available to those who have a credit rating. Now, we've yet to see how many will want to go down that track. But this does give the institutions plenty of time to think through their futures, where they can access capital, what the credit rating requirements are, and then by October next year, whether they want to participate in the further guarantee, because it will be voluntary, but they will have to pay for it.
Was this move about fear of the credit downgrade?
Oh, no, it wasn't. It's just about striking the right balance between the very real risk to the taxpayer of providing this guarantee. As I said, they've already paid out $68 million. A build-up of distortions in the market where a growing proportion of deposits in these institutions expire at the end of the current guarantee scheme. Growing need for certainty in the market, so that these institutions know what they need to do to reorganise themselves. But at the same time, you know, allowing time for the economy to pick up, that might help the underlying asset values, let economic confidence get bedded in before they have to exit the scheme. What's that? I can't answer that, but it's... Sorry? Oh, I couldn't tell you. We would certainly want to run the scheme in a way where the revenue outweighs the payouts.
Why are you extending the scheme? There's a couple of bands here that are sub-investment grade. Why take on that, underwrite that risk of sub-investment grade?
Well, the process of them gaining credit ratings over the next 12 months under the supervision of the Reserve Bank is going to show, you know, just how many are in the position to get a credit rating. Essentially, we want to make sure that as many institutions and depositors can make the transition without these institutions falling over and the taxpayer having to underwrite them. So we are allowing for lower credit ratings, but that's part of the transition to market normality. If you're a double B institution paying 150 basis points to the guarantee, that's going to be quite a challenge.
Is that expressly to capture South Canterbury and Marrick?
No, there's nothing about the scheme designed around any particular institution. Well, the two operate independently. The wholesale guarantee is being used currently by our banks. The indications are that the market is getting to stable enough that it's starting to look at non-guaranteed issuance. That's progress. And the banks are, because it's fairly robustly priced, the banks are keen to move on from the guaranteed issuance if they possibly can. So our view at the moment is that that will wind itself out.
Do you have a time frame for that?
For
winding itself out?
No, we haven't said any. We haven't made any particular decisions about it.
Is there any implications from this extension of the scheme to the government's contract?
No, I don't think there are any direct implications. We do need to make sure that, given we are a highly indebted, seen by the ratings agencies as a highly indebted country, with government taking on or doubling its public debt over the next three or four years, we do need to be a bit careful about taking too much risk in addition to that onto our balance sheet. And we've had to take that into account here, and we've decided that we're in reasonable enough shape on our credit rating that we can, that it's, you know, that on balance it's better to underwrite financial stability. But we don't want to be taking on more and more risk because it's my view the credit rating agencies are going to become more attuned to what is on government's balance sheets now that the crisis, financial crisis, has passed.
Do you have any feel for numbers of students who might not
No, we don't. But they've got plenty of time to think that through. Remember, we're announcing a change now that will apply in mid-October 2010. And on the way through, they have to comply with the non-bank regulation that's been put in place. So over the next 12 months, we will get a much clearer picture of it.
The carnage in the finance companies and the ongoing balance sheet fragility of those which remain, why are you confident that the end of 2011 was actually enough time? So it's just going to kick people out a year and going to face pretty much the same pressure this time next year to extend again?
Well, we are going to legislate the end of the scheme in 2011. There's been signs recently that the institutions understand they will need to reorganise. They'll need to reorganise themselves if they're going to transit out of the scheme into the market ultimately. The first big hurdle they have to get over, though, is the one imposed by the non-bank regime that's been put in place independent of the guarantee. It happens that the guarantee covers all the organisations who are going to be affected by that non-bank regulation. So any institution that thinks it can sit around and wait this out can't, because they will have to get a credit rating in order to comply with the Reserve Bank's requirements, and they'll have to get that credit rating over the next 12 months.
But why, if I was a depositor, would I put any money into a finance company beyond the scheme?
Well, that's up to depositors. I mean, beyond the scheme, any non-bank institution is going to have to pay a rate that reflects their risk. And the intention of the non-bank regulatory regime is to make those risks more transparent. And then it's up to the depositors to decide.
How confident are you that the financial crisis has actually passed?
Well, if you look at the financial markets, they've certainly passed the peak of distress that occurred, in the first half of this year. But I think any informed observer would have to believe there's going to be significant volatility over the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, when you have that much capital value lost out of the system, there is going to be ongoing impacts of it, some of which are unanticipated. That's one reason why we've decided to extend the guarantee scheme, because this takes us through to the end of 2011, which will be then 3 years since the financial crisis started, and we think that's a reasonable time for these institutions to get themselves organised and for some economic confidence to be bedded in again.
Have any of the finance companies actually grown their funding book so that they are actually obliged to pay for the scheme since its inception?
Some have tried. We just have to check out the facts on that. But generally, the finance companies have behaved pretty well under the scheme. But they have, the government has become more assertive in ensuring that the institutions it's underwriting are getting themselves organised to get into transition back to a normal market situation. But now they've got a good 2.5 years to do that.
Are you expecting to having to extend that deadline past the new deadline again, or is it tossing the keys back?
No, we're not expecting to extend it. It is, the taxpayer has underwritten these institutions for 12 months already. It's giving them another 2.5 years. I think, in fairness to the taxpayer and the risk the taxpayer is taking, we need to signal clearly to the sector that. They'll get support when they've needed it, but they should be aiming to get back into normal market conditions.
Are you assuming that's the same situation internationally?
Yeah, I think the international situation is going to be pretty complex. In our discussions last week with the Australians, are paying a good deal of attention to the issue of international coordination through the G20. because I think all governments now realise that having implemented their stimulus packages, they've got very difficult public finances themselves. They've ended up with a whole lot of assets of doubtful quality on their balance sheets, and they need to get on with the job of starting to clean that up, particularly because of the ongoing fiscal risks that they face. And you know, a lot of governments are facing our situation where they've got the demographics now starting to swing against them, more public debt than they've had for a long time, large fiscal deficits, larger than they've had for a long time, and in other countries, as well as here, all these assets of doubtful quality for which they're responsible. And I think any responsible government is now looking at the path out of that situation.
They will largely follow Australia's lead, given that they don't take all that coordination.
Well, yeah, look, the practicality is that countries, you know, through the G20, it would be useful if they could all decide on an approximate coordination of getting out of these guarantees. Australia are there fulfilling that role, and we keep in touch with them.
Do you think any of the finance companies other than UDC will achieve a credit rating high enough to get coverage under the scheme?
Well, I'm not a credit rating expert, and I don't know the companies well enough to do that. What I do know is that in representing the taxpayers' interest here, we need it would be preferable if the taxpayer wasn't taking on this risk. That's why we're signalling a transition to normal market conditions, and wearing, wearing a hat on, and looking at the economy as a whole. We want to go about this in a measured way in order to ensure financial stability. Because one of the worst things that can happen is if credit markets stop, and the non-bank sector has played a particular role in credit markets. It's linked to smaller businesses, it's linked on plant and equipment. And if that stops, people lose jobs. So we have an economic interest in ensuring credit keeps flowing, and an interest on behalf of the taxpayer in ensuring these institutions are gearing up to transition back to normal conditions. And we're not making guesses about particular institutions.
Could you give any institutions are doing this over a shorter time frame, given your emphasis on getting the risk off the books?
Yes, we did look at not extending the scheme, but on balance felt that it was too soon, too early to end it.
Did you consult with the different agencies? I mean, what was their reaction to the fact that it was being extended?
Now, how do you mean by the different agencies?
The different credit companies, the ones that you're underwriting and guaranteeing, what was their reaction to the extension of this scheme?
Well, they're not aware of the extension until it's announced.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.